So here we are on the final day of Sfirat HaOmer, 49 days, and we're holding our daf Yud-Tes. We're holding our daf Yud-Tes, and let's get reoriented for a moment. We were trying to discover the Sfora of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon, if you recall, yesterday, Rav, and the correct here is, according to us, it's not Rav Oshai, but Rabbi Oshai. We'll see. We'll see why today. But in any event, Rabbi Yoshaya had claimed that the only justification for the first Mishnah was because we needed to know that Rabbi Shimon argues about an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, even if he was born before the first surviving brother had done Yibum. And so you would think, certainly he would agree that that brother was born into Isser because she was still basically involved with the first brother and Yibum hadn't taken place. So Rabbi Yoshaya had claimed that actually Rabbi Shimon must have argued even on that case. And in fact, that's the justification for the Mishnah. Why else bother making the first Mishnah if you've already got a case of a second Mishnah where Bava Matzah Beheter over there, the Rabbanan have already said what they said. It must be that the first Mishnah only finishes Rabbi Shimon. So we said, okay, what's the logic in Rabbi Shimon's position? I mean, isn't it an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? The Torah says, yeah, I mean, he's agreeing there certainly exists the concept of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So when there was only one brother, two brothers, or one hadn't done Yibum, and so on, there exists the idea of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So we said the Svara is because not only does he hold the Yesh Zika, he goes all the way. He holds that Zika is Kiknusa, and therefore, even if the brother hadn't done Yibum before the third brother was born, since he was there, and she was there, and she was Zekuka to him, Midiraisa, after the death of the first brother, for all intents and purposes, she was already married to him when the third brother was born, he found a woman that was married to his second brother. He just needs to go through the formality of the Yibum. But the Zika itself created enough of a relationship for the second marriage to be taking over the Yisr Veshesach. Therefore, when the second brother dies, she's falling to him from the second brother, not from the first brother. That's what the claim was. Okay, so we were right up to the response of Rav Yosef to that claim. And that starts Maskifla Rav Yosef, which is about the two lines above the fifth of the way up. Maskifla Rav Yosef. Hashta Zik on the bottom of Amid Bet, Yud Ches Amid Bet. Maskifla Rav Yosef. You're claiming that according to Rabbi Shimon, the din is that Zika is already Kichnusa? For heaven's sakes, even in a case where not only was she Zekuka to the surviving brother, but where he had actually done Ma'amar already to her. So we have both Zika and Ma'amar. Nonetheless, as I'm going to show you, Misap Kalela Rabbi Shimon, nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon is in doubt of whether we should view her as really being married to that surviving brother or not. And you're trying to claim to me that in a case of Zika Lechuda, without even a mimer, that there he's absolutely sure? I mean, so then if that's the case, so then Zika Lechuda, I mean, boy, obviously he's going to be misupak about the Zika alone. He's not even sure, as I'm going to show you, about Zika and Ma'amar together. Because remember, we have three levels of connection of a Yavama to a Yava. Upon the death of the brother, she's a Kukalo. That's level one. The Rabbanan were Metaken, another level of connection, which is Ma'amar, which according to Beit Shammai is a full Kedushin, even with your eyes, it works the same way Kedushin would work on a woman that you're not related to. According to Beit Hillel, we saw Ma'amar as a Takanat Rabbanan and create certain Isurim, but it can never part you from anything to your eyes. And then, of course, we have the full-fledged Yibum, or we have a Chalitza that then removes even the Zika, and now she's like any other woman, but there's no longer an Isur Eshesach to that brother. There would be an Isur Shuv Lo Yivneh, a lot, but Eshesach is not, whether there's an Isur Eshesach to other brothers, that's already, we saw the Machlokas earlier, what the din is between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, fine. But those are the levels of interrelationship that we have. If we know that even after Zika, the guy already did Mimer, we're going to prove to you now that Rabbi Shimon isn't quite sure what the halacha is over there. You're telling me that he is so sure that Zika, even without Mimer, is okay, that when a brother is born after the Zika alone, then he can certainly take her because she's not an Eshav Shalor Belama. That's math. Even if that brother had done Mimer and the Zika, she wouldn't have been sure. How do I know that? What am I referring to when I say that as if it's a given? Here's the case I'm referring to. It's not. Shlosha achim nisuim shalosh nashim nochriot. Suppose you have now three brothers. These three brothers are married to three women, unrelated women, no problem. Meit echad miyam, now one of them dies. The second brother goes ahead and does ma'amar on the brother's wife. And now he goes ahead and dies. Now let's examine the possibilities here, okay? One possibility is that ma'amar is the equivalent of a full marriage. Okay? The ma'amar is the equivalent of the full marriage when he now goes ahead and dies, leaving his two wives, one the Yavama from the first brother, and one his own original wife, to the third brother, the last surviving brother. That brother is faced with a typical situation of Yibum, where a brother had died with two wives. He can either do Chalitza or Yibum to one or the other, because always one woman of the family acts, as we said, in locum, all of the others. So, that ought to be the case. Now, on the other hand, if Ma'amar is not a complete marriage, now we have a little bit of a problem, in that he still has that first wife, for the first brother's wife, is still related to him through the first brother, because it hasn't been taken over by the second brother. Because all the second brother did was Mimer. If Mimer is not really a Kenyan, so now he basically has two completely different families to contend with. Problem is, he can't really take the Mimer lady, because if the Mimer lady is a partial Kenyan Minerabonon, then if he would take both of them, the Rabbanon would say, no, wait a minute, as far as we're concerned, you're taking two women from the same family. You can't do that, because it says, Asher lo yivneh beit achiv, bayit achad u boner, veino boner shnei batim. So you certainly can't take both of them. Okay? Because we don't know. I mean, if she's certainly not completely married, but she's partially married to the Rabbanon. So there, what you would have to do is, you would have to do in each one of them, either a Yibum or a Chalitza. L'chor. Okay. Now, in that case itself, it says there, if he goes ahead and dies, Asaba Hasheni Ma'amar V'meit, Harelu Elu Chotzot V'lo Mityabmot. There you have a problem, says the Tanakhama, because Shenema U'meit Echad Mehem Yavamo Yavo Aleha. If a single brother dies, so then fine. He shall sleep with her as a yavam. But that means where meit echad mihem, only one of the brothers died for this woman. Obviously, it doesn't mean only one brother can die, and if two brothers die, they can cancel yavam. But it means one woman can come from one brother. But here we have a problem, because one woman is coming from two brothers. Obviously, such a thing is absurd, except minarabbanan. Minaraisa, she's either coming from the first brother, she's coming from the second brother. But once the Rabbanan create a situation called Ma'amar, so we have this weird interim state. Midiraisa, she's a kuka from the first brother still. But Midirabbanan, she was married to the second brother, is now falling from the second brother. Oh boy. So now she's got a double Zika on her. The Torah never allowed Yibum in those circumstances. It says, Mishalel Zikat of one Yavam and not from two Yavam. So now the Rabbanan over, this is the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is treating Ma'amar very clearly as a partial Kenyan. And because it's only a partial Kenyan, we pretend that she really has a Kenyan to the second brother, though when you're right, so she doesn't really. And we treat it to this new Isser of not coming from two homes, she's got to come only from one home. That's not a problem. But take a look at what Rabbi Shimon says, because he's really confusing. Is it my imagination or is it quite hot in here?
Stuffy.
They're not stuffy. Huh? We could either open the door or we could turn on the air. I don't know. So now, Rabbi Shimon, however, says, and Rabbi Yosef says, now this is what I want you to look at. I want you to look at Rabbi Shimon and show you that it's ridiculous to claim that according to Rabbi Shimon, Zika is powerful enough to create a marriage, because over here you got Zika plus Ma'amar, and he still doesn't say you can create a marriage. Rabbi Shimon on there. Because we have a Isser Derabbanan, which were masbich on the pasuk. His original wife.
Yeah, Shimon's original wife. Yeah.
Shimon's original wife, and not this one, because now she's Asura on him. The other wife is Asura on him. So now we have now a bias, basically, of Yisr, right? So now, since that's true, so now this case, okay, so now the, it's sort of like a Tzara D'Rabbona kind of thing. Yeah. So now, so comes along Rabbi Shimon, and he says, no, actually, you can be miyabim le'ezer mehem sheyirtze, v'choleitz lishniya. Now, you can't be miyabim both of these women, but you could choose one or the other to be miyabim, and then you do chalitza to the other one. And I'll tell you why. Yevumitarvai, you can't be miyabim both of them, because if yesh zika, so then you'd be taking two women from the same bayit, and the Torah says, Beit Achiv, Bayit Achad Ubonet, Ve'ino Bonet Shnei Batim. So you can't take both. Because Doma Yesh Zika, in which case both of these Yivamot would be coming from the second brother, be Bayit Achad. On the other hand, you can't go ahead and be Miyabim one and say, okay, I mean, I'm taking one, what's the difference? One part is the other, right? They're both coming from the same home. I mean, after all, he did minor. I mean, certainly, Mimer and Zika is enough to make her his wife. Nope. Because, says Rabbi Sharon, sorry, Dilma ain't Zika Kiknusa, that's even with the Mimer. Maybe actually these are two completely unrelated families, two brothers, two Yavamas, and you ought to do both, but I'm not sure what to do. So you can't do Yibama both of them because you're going to be over in Israel, maybe. So therefore, what you could do is you could do Yibam on one or the other, but you're still going to have to do Chalitza on the other to make sure that you're part of the other bias. Now, Alma Misapkele, okay? So if Rabbi Shimon is even doubtful about a case where the brother did Mimer, whether he was really married to her or not, you're trying to tell me that when a third brother would be born, that there's no problem because after all, there was Zika. It wasn't even Mimer. There was Zika. The Zika is enough to make her totally married to the second brother. There's no problem. He doesn't have any issues. Ashes Archiv Shlahoyabal. Oh no, everything is on Kidori. What are you talking about? So obviously, Rabbi Oshaya, you made a big mistake. Rabbi Shimon certainly could say he doesn't know the Zika Kikanusa. There's no logic at all to a position that would say that a brother who is born before this original only surviving brother went ahead and did Yibam, that nonetheless we'd look at her as if she's married to him. If he didn't do Yibam, we would not. We see from here, we would not. And therefore, he's left, this new brother that's born, he's left with the problem of her being an Eshet Achiv to the first brother, who was Lo Hayabal Lama, with the third brother. And therefore, couldn't be that Rabbi Shimon argues in that case. He must agree with the Rabbanan in that case. Huh? Now, I know what you're going to try to tell me, okay? You're going to try to tell me, the Chitema, you're going to say to me, now wait a minute. The truth is that Midiraisa Achinami de Miyabim Chada Umiftera Chada. Actually, I mean, for sure Rabbi Shimon would be made that in terms of the Midiraisa, you really could, I mean, we know Zikas Kiknusa, not really a problem. He could go ahead and take one of them and not the other one. It's just that the Rabbanan said it's awesome. Why did the Rabbanan say it's Aser? Rabbanan, who the Aser? Gezeira, Mishum, Shema, Yomru. We're worried that maybe people will say that Shtei Yevamot Haba'ot Mishnei Batim Chodem Yav Mavi Idach Miftar Bavolo Klum. You see, people might think that in a case where you have two women, let's imagine a very simple case. Two brothers die instantaneously. They're both killed with a nuclear blast. We assume that they died at the same moment. Okay?
It has to be the same time?
It has to be the same time, because otherwise you get a Zika Kiknusa at the first one. Okay? There's another case, which I'll talk about in a moment. But let's assume that two brothers die instantaneously, leaving now two women to the third surviving brother. Okay? Now, in that case, for sure, he's got to take care of each house independently. But people don't know how to distinguish between a case where first one died, and then according to Rabbi Shimon, Zika's Kikanusa, so really you should only take one of them, right? And pot to the other one. And this case, they say, well, I don't know, last time we heard of a case like that where two brothers died, it was a day apart, and actually the other brother just took one of the women, which of course would be true if you would hold that Zika is Kikinusa. So the Rabbanan say, you know what? Says Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is still claiming this. Really, Zika is, that's what you're going to try to tell me, says Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef. You're going to try to tell me Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is Kikinusa. And then over here there's this new gzera, since people cannot distinguish between a case where there wasn't a Zika Kiknusa. Why? Because he was dead before there could be a Zika Kiknusa. And both women fell to the other brother simultaneously. People can't distinguish between that case and a case where there was a moment between the death of the two of them where there was a Zika Kiknusa to one of the brothers. Because of that, we had to say, look, I mean, we can't just let the other one go free without dealing with her. So you always have to deal with both women. It's not because Rabbi Shimon has any doubts. He doesn't have any doubts. He knows that Zika is Kikinusa. And when it comes to the issue of Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo, where there's no basis for any kind of Gzeira, he sticks with the Diraisa Halacha, Zika is Kikinusa, third brother who's born, finds basically a Zekuka to the second brother, first brother's already dead, everything's fine. There's no Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo. I knew you were going to try to tell me that. But you're wrong. Huh. And I'll show you how wrong you are. Because our time in Rabbi Shimon, I'll show you from Rabbi Shimon, that that's not his reasoning at all. Of course, it's what it should be, according to you. But actually, Rabbi Shimon's reasoning is because he's misupak about the nature of ma'amar. That's the problem. He isn't even concerned for the Zika, actually. So, and listen to what he says in that same brayta, the Tanya. Amar lan Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says to the chachamim, well, what exactly is your guy's problem, okay? Well, you're telling me you can't do yibum to either of them. They're both choletzet v'lo mityabemet. Well, what's your problem? Mamanashah. Look, let him go and be miyabim one, all right? Now, what's the problem? He ma'amar o shosheni ma'amar. Look, if ma'amar is a real kinyan, so he's not doing anything wrong. He's taking one of the women of the second brother who is now supposed to be his Yavama from the second brother. Okay, so he took her. Very good. Eshet Sheni Uboil. He's basically sleeping with the second brother's wife. You're telling me Ma'amar doesn't work. Fine. So now he's taking the wife of his first brother. But he can't be doing anything wrong. Either there is Ma'amar and she's now the Yavama of the second brother, or there's no Ma'amar and she's the Yavama of the first brother. But either way, he's got a fee to take care of her, so why shouldn't he be named Yavin? Well, why are you telling me he has to do Chalitza? I cannot imagine what he could be doing wrong. Okay, that's his taina. Now, if Rabbi Shimon is making it dependent on, well, look, I don't know, but however you view Maimer one way or the other, it should work out fine. It's clear that he's doubtful about how to look at Mimer. Is there a Mimer? Is there not a Mimer? Is it a Kenyan or is it not a Kenyan? But it's, he doesn't talk to them about Zika and Kiknusa or anything of the other sort, right? Omalei Abayin. Says Abayin, you know, I mean, this is all very cute, but this case has absolutely nothing to do with the case that we're talking about for a very simple reason. By definition, all of the cases that you've been bringing in which we have a second brother that's going to be dealing with the wife of the first brother while the third brother is alive, well, then by definition, there were two brothers at the time of the death of the first brother, right? Question is, what happens now to the third brother when the second brother dies? What happens to the two wives? That was your question. Now, that is innately different than the case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo, where the third brother did not exist at the time of the death of the first brother. We've already pointed out to you that there's a major difference between a Zika, in which a woman falls to one person and needs to be mityabemet by that person, which is a case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo. There was no third brother. There's only a second brother. Brother one dies. Brother two is absolutely responsible to do Yibum. In such a case, Rabbi Shimon says, Zika Kiknusa. No. Now a third brother is born. Zika Kiknusa. The Torah said, basically, this woman is married to the only surviving brother. Now, from this, you want to bring me a raya. I mean, listen to what you're saying. There's two brothers that survive. The first brother's wife is just as much zikuka at the moment of his death to the remaining surviving brother, Levi, as she was to the other brother who died after him, Shimon. So you're telling me, well, I mean, after all, she was zikuka to Shimon, and therefore, why can't Levi just take her because she's Shimon's wife? I understand. She's as much his own wife as she is Shimon's wife. Over there, the zika is spread out over two brothers. What possible comparison is there between that case and this case? Obviously, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say Zika Kedusa in that case, because there's no reason to be Miyakes, the first woman, now to Shimon, more than to the surviving brother, who now is faced with the need to do Yibam, with a woman who's coming from two places. To him, she was always Yakuka, right? The only thing that changes it, it might make me think that maybe I should look at her as more related to Shimon than to me, is because Shimon did Maimon. No, says Rabbi Shimon, look, I don't know about that Maimer. I mean, yeah, maybe that Maimer does affect it. Maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. So therefore, that's my problem. Well, obviously, he's not going to talk about Zika in that case. The only interesting factor in that case was the Maimer, not the Zika, which was spread out over two brothers. So for you to compare my reasoning, if I was talking on behalf of Rabbi Oshaya, for you to compare Rabbi Oshaya's reasoning that according to Rabbi Shimon, she is completely married to the only surviving brother, and asked me, it's a Kal V'chomer. Rabbi Shimon wasn't even sure about Zika plus Maimer. How would he be sure about Zika? My God. The case of Zika plus Maimer is because there were two brothers. That was the point of the Maimer. Whereas the case of Rabbi Oshaya was where there was, that's by definition, one brother. Well, good, so therefore, all your problems fall away. What? You're telling me there's no difference between these two cases? I mean, maybe the only case where Rabbi Oshaya would have said that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is Kiknusa when the third brother is born, there's not a problem of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo, is where there was only one surviving brother before he was born. So over there, it's B'yavam Echad. But Ein Achinami, let's say there were a total of four brothers. One brother dies, leaving two surviving brothers, and now a fourth brother is born. Maybe there Rabbi Oshaya would never have said that Rabbi Shimon would have held that there's no problem of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo. Of course there's a problem of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo, because the Zika was not miyuchedet to one or other of the brothers, and therefore couldn't possibly have defined a clear-cut relationship of a kedusha to one or the other of the brothers. That's perfectly logical. So you cannot ask on Rabbi Oshaya's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon from the case that you're asking, where there were two brothers. So far, seems to me Rabbi Oshaya's got a very good point. His point being, why would there ever be a first Mishnah? The only kiddush of the first Mishnah would be to tell me that Rabbi Shimon's ready to argue even on that first Mishnah. And in a case where there would have been two surviving brothers, there would have been a case where, in fact, Rabbi Shimon would have been ready to agree that there's an Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo. We didn't think of that before when we asked, so where does Rabbi Shimon have an Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Be'olamo? It's a simple case. There were two surviving brothers. Okay, now I'm ready to agree. How in the middle of such excitement could you possibly doze off?
Back to the monkey.
Physiological.
I won't ask among other things that you fall asleep in, but maybe that explains your skiing accident. All right. So, therefore, says Abaya, makes a good deal of sense. Oh, no, says the Gemara, not at all. It doesn't make sense at all, because it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon does not make any distinction between a case where a brother died leaving two surviving brothers and then the fourth brother is born, or a case where a brother dies leaving only one surviving brother, and I'll prove it to you. Umishani, whether Rabbi Shimon does, in fact, Rabbi Shimon hold up such a distinction? Does it not say in the Brayta of Atanya, Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon said a klal. Now, klal, I mean, to me, a klal means it applies across the board. I mean, otherwise you don't say a klal, and people say a halakha. I mean, he's saying a klal. And here's how he puts it. Kol shehalidah kodemet l'nisuin lo choletzet v'lo mityabemet. where the birth of the new brother comes before the marriage to the surviving brother, then there's no problem at all. We've got a case of Eish Lachiv Shalayah Bo'olamo, and there's no chiyuv on that new brother at all, because she's an Eish Lachiv Shalayah Bo'olamo. But Nisu'in Kodem Lelida, if there was a marriage before the birth of, marriage meaning a Yibum, before the birth of the new brother, now there's no problem. Okay? Now, I'm assuming that this is talking about my lav biyavamechad. I mean, it says klal. I mean, klal refers to all cases. So it would include even the avamechad. Now, this is a direct attack on Rabbi Yoshai. I mean, we don't have to go around the back and say, you know, Abaye and this. We're bringing it in as if it's an attack only on Abaye, because it breaks down the logic of any possible distinction Rabbi Shimon would make. But I mean, basically, we've got over here a clear raya against Rabbi Yoshai. In fact, the Rishonim are bothered by the fact, why didn't Rabbi Yoshai just say this in the first place? Hey, Rabbi Yoshai, I don't know how you could say this. Rabbi Shimon himself says otherwise. Right? Okay, the different derutzim. Some say because he wanted to bring out that Kal v'chomer about how crazy the logic was. But forget about the din. The logic is mad. If he's specific even about Zika and Ma'amar, I mean, I'd rather bring you that case, or I'd rather bring the Mishnah instead of this Brisa with the cloud, whatever. But the truth is that, of course, this is about as clear an attack on Rabbi Yoshai that you could find. Here, Rabbi Shimon himself is saying, a general rule, even with my lav biyavamechad, even if there's only one surviving brother, and it says over here that in a case where the birth comes before the yibum of that brother, lo kol letzit v'lo mitjavam. Now, doesn't it say that? So you see the Rabbi Shimon agrees, Eish tachiv shalaya ba'olamo, even if there's one brother, we do not say Zika is kikidusa. Obviously, the only place where Rabbi Shimon argued with the Rabbanan is in a case where a third brother is born and finds now the first brother's wife of 30 years ago, happily married for the past 30 years to the second brother. Nobody even remembers there was a first brother. There, Rabbi Shimon, there, in Achinami, Rabbi Shimon says, that's not a problem. But if while he's born, we're still tumbling about the Zika from the first brother, then of course he agrees. No, says Abayim. Actually, that was only talking about two Yibam. Klal or no klal, that's all. There was no Zika in that case that could define the relationship to the surviving brother. But in Achinami, if there would have been Yom HaMechad, then he would have said, no problem, Zika's Kikinusa. Oh, come on, man. So what are you saying? B'yavam echad mai. That what? Hachinami ocholetzit omit yabenet? You tell me that when it would come to one yavam, he would have held that you can do either chalitz or yivum, because she's now happily zikuka to the second brother, right? So then, I mean, why make up a ridiculous klal that makes everything dependent on the relationship of the birth of the third brother to the marriage of the second brother? That isn't the point. Atani nisuin kodim loleida ocholetzet omet yabemet. I mean, they said a much bigger chiddush than that. Liflod v'litznei b'dida. You could have made the distinction even in the case where there was no difference about when he was born, and even if no matter when he was born, and you could say, b'met v'armomer b'shnei yevamim, where would there be an iseracious achshoy abolomo if there were two surviving brothers? Avo b'yavam echad. Wouldn't matter when he was born. Isn't that what you should say? Isn't that the bigger kiddush? Isn't that a better klal? Well, what kind of klal is this? Well, yeah, he could have, actually, but he was only addressing a case where there were two brothers. He wasn't addressing all cases. He was addressing a case of Shnei Yevamim. Gives us the rule of how to view Shnei Yevamim. The other case is like a completely different set because it introduces a new idea of Zika. You're certainly not going to put the two of them together. Just as Aya so reasonably explains, as Abai in Rav Hoshaya, that there are two different cases, completely different cases. One which involves Zika, one which doesn't involve Zika. I mean, obviously you can't expect Rabbi Shimon to deal with the two cases if they're the same. He imagines that every idiot knows that there are two sets of cases. One where the Zika is applicable, in which case, why even talk about Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamah? The existence of Zika makes the idea nutty. So he's only talking about a case where there's no Zika. Then you get into the problems of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamah. So then he gives you the rule. Okay, how do you know when it's okay, when it's not okay? It depends on the relationship of the birth to the Yibum. It's only your own original preconception that Zika is not the issue that makes you think that he ought to address the two together. So you take your misconception, apply it to the thing, and now you're going to prove me wrong because of your original mistake. How about giving up on your mistake and agreeing that everything makes a great deal of sense, like this? So therefore, we still don't have any definitive proof that Rabbi Shimon would not agree with Rabbi Hoshaya's interpretation of himself, and would not be willing to go along with the idea of Zika Kiknusa, at least in a case where there's only one brother and not two. Okay? So then, can I just ask you one question? If this is true, why does he say klal? That's not a klal. It's just the din. Don't say klal. I mean, a klal means you're trying to apply it to all cases across the board. If you're telling me, well, but first we limit the set, so then it's not a klal. I mean, a klal is said about a set that has more than one member. I mean, here you're telling me the set has one member, a case of a brother who dies with multiple brothers. The rule is in such cases, there aren't such cases, there's such a case. So then don't talk to me about a rule about cases. Therefore, I can't accept it, beside which it's crazy. And now we finally get to the crux of the matter. And here's why the first Rav Hoshaya couldn't have been Rav Hoshaya, because unless he suffers from schizophrenia, he now fully disproves himself. So as the Rabbeinu Tam says, there is a Rabbi Hoshaya, who is the author of the original statement explaining Rabbi Shimon, and then there is a later Amora by the name of Rav Hoshaya, who asks against here, against Rabbi Hoshaya, and shows him to be completely wrong. The Od Masiv Rav Hoshaya. How about a case that we have later on of Shlosha Achim? You've got two brothers. Shnayim Mehem Nisuim Shtei Achayot. Now, two of these brothers are married to two sisters. So we're going to get into the problem of Achot Zkukato if they both die, right? Or two of these brothers are married to some other set. Let's say an Isha Ubita, which if the two of them fall simultaneously to Yibur, you can't take both of them. Or a woman and her granddaughter. It's also a set. Ishao bat pita. Or an ishao bat vena. Of course, being the equivalent of a mother-in-law and the mother. Same direction, up or down. The point is, it's a set of two that you can't have both. So either they're sisters, or they're your grandmothers and grandchild, or mother and child. And now, what happens if two of them die? Hare elo chotzot v'lo mityamot. The rule over there is that we do chalitza if the two that were married to the set, let's say the brothers that were married to the two sisters, those two brothers die. So then in that case, you do chalitza, the third one does chalitza, but you can't do Yibum. Why? Because since no matter who he takes, that person would be Zekuka to him. So now the other one would be Achot Zkukato, Bat Zkukato, Bat Panasho Zkukato, whatever the case is. The other one is already matched up to him in Zika. So he's got a problem because of this halacha of Zika, which we treat like a semi-marriage. So how can you do Yibum on the sister of a woman who's a kuka to you, or the mother of a woman who's a kuka to you, or a granddaughter of the woman who's a kuka? So all of these cases, basically, there would be only chalitza, because, I mean, Zika is not enough to pot, it's not a real erva, but you can only do chalitza, you can't do yibum. Now, here's the interesting thing, and Rabbi Shimon is poter, okay? Rabbi Shimon says that this, by the way, was that famous halacha we were saying. So what does Rebbe do with Litzror? He needs it for Rebbe Shimon. We finally get to the point. What is that Rebbe Shimon? Rebbe Shimon learns out from the pasuk by Achot Isha of Litzror, Legalot Ervata Aleha, that Litzror tells me there is a concept of Zika, in which two women, two sisters, fall simultaneously, despite the fact that they fall for two separate homes. They fall in front of the same brothers. There's no way to take one or the other because of Litzror. So therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, look, over there in this case, you can't, there's no problem at all. That's a deraisa. There's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. Basically, what happened to you is an Anerva fell to you, okay? So if an Anerva falls to you, we do Chalitza. It's a deraisa. The Torah says there's no Yibam in this case. Now, the problem is that if Rabbi Shimon holds, as you're claiming, that Zika is Kikanusa, the first brother who dies leaves his wife to the next brother as a Zikuka, which is Kedusa. Uh-huh. So now, that means that one is already taken, right? So then the other one, or yes, the other one indeed should be Potter. Brother one dies. Fine. So now I am Zakuk to his wife. Now brother two dies, leaving me also her sister. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I've already got one. I can't have both sisters. Because if Zika is Kikanusa, I have no relationship to the second sister at all. So always the first one should be Muteris, and the second one should be indeed Petura without Yibam or Chalitza, if Zika is Kikanusa. Instead, he says, both of them are Potter. And how do you explain that? Obviously, you can only explain it by saying that Zika is enough to ask you, but it's not enough to create a situation of Kikanusa. And therefore, there's no way that Rabbi Shimon could have said that when it comes to an Ach who was born after Zika, that Zika made her actually married to the other brother, because basically that would have been the din over here. Mm-hmm. There's a brother that's left who finds a woman that he is a kuka to suddenly now be the sister of a new woman who's following him 5 minutes later or 2 months later, whenever it is, from the other brother. Right? And says over here, nope, sorry, Zika didn't help to make her Knusa. Too bad. And now all you can do is you just walk away, because neither of them. So what are you going to do with that? Says Rabbi Shimon, Zika Knusa Dami, Liyabim Lekamaisa, Viti Paterida. Says Rav Amram, well, maybe that's what he means. When it says Rabbi Shimon Poter, he doesn't mean Poter both of them. He means since Zika is Kiknusa, he's Poter, the second one to die. His wife is basically 100% Asura, because the other one, her sister, or her mother, or daughter, whatever the case may be, was already married to the first brother, and therefore, sorry, she goes out for free without anything. No Yibum, no Chalitza. And that's what he meant, maybe. No, sorry, Rav Amram, that's not what he meant. Because it says, Beferish in the Bride of Atanya, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Bishtehen. Both, not the second one, both. Okay? So let's not try that little game. So that means that we have over here a situation in which Zika asks two women, and they answer them, obviously, in a way that implies that Zika is Lavka Knusa. Omar Rava. Rava now says, now wait a minute. Now, Rava, by the way, is making a terrible mistake, as we're about to see. But Rava read the case wrong. Rava read the case as that the two brothers were married not only to two sisters, but also to an Isha Ubita. So that each one of them had two wives, actually four wives. One was the sister of his brother's wife. The other one was the mother of his brother's wife. The other one was the grandmother of his mother's wife. And the other one was the paternal, through the father, grandmother of the mother's wife. So, look, they were, you know, probably...
Close-knit family, but I mean, they were probably doing the Sefer Yavamas,
and they, you know, they wanted to really complicate matters.
Hatfields and McCoys.
So that's what Rav... Now, that's a mistake. It says, Beferish, I mean, these were separate cases. They weren't a case where there was more than one complicating factor. It was just the two Achiyot or the Ima. But Rav made a mistake. Rava thought that it actually meant that they were married to more than just Isha V'Achotah. let's pretend for a moment to one more case. Isha and her sister, plus another woman and that other woman's mother. Let's say that was the case. So therefore, what Rava says is, you know what the meaning when it says Rav Shimon poter b'shtehen? Doesn't mean poter b'shtehen the way you think. Doesn't mean poter b'shtehen that the first one to fall to Zika. He holds Zika's kiknusa. That one for sure he wouldn't potter. The meaning of b'shtehen is shniya shebezugze, v'shniya shebezugze. All that he's saying is that the second case over here, if they were, let's say there were three brothers, okay, two of them are married to two sisters, and the same two are married to a woman and her daughter, let's say, okay? Those two now die, leaving the two sisters and the mother and the daughter, four separate women, two, brother three, okay? So in that case, what's going to be the halacha? One gets yibum, like Rav Amram pointed out, because, I mean, Zika's kikus would be no problem. So one of them would get yibum, and the two other ones would be potter. One of them is potter because, I mean, she was already Zika bater like a knusa. So obviously, I mean, you can't take both of them, right? So she's patura. And the others are paturas because of Erva, and therefore whatever Erva was. I mean, if he took the one for yibum was the sister, so now she is, the sister is the Erva, and the other one is the Tzoras Erva. If the one he took was the mother, so then the daughter is the Erva, and the sister now is Petura of the Tzoras Erva. Well, whatever the case is, that's all that it's talking about. It's not talking about pottering, that there's no Yibum or Chalitza on one of these women. Obviously, the Zika Kiknusa would have made that first woman, according to Rabbi Shimon Svara, that first woman, you take her, either one, either the mother or the sister, whatever it is, got no problem yet, because the other brother didn't die yet. So that moment, that first brother dies, you take the first one, but the other two women are going to be pturas. That's a pshat. Now, says the Gemara, now, Katoy, Rava, obviously Rava's making a ridiculous mistake over here, because Rava thinks we're talking about four separate women. In other words, I've got two brothers are married to two sisters, and also to a mother and a daughter, and also to a mother and a granddaughter. That's ridiculous. First of all, it's ridiculous because it says or. It doesn't say and. All right? Oh doesn't give us an option and or. That's number one. Furthermore, I mean, if it's the case, it should have said Rabbi Shimon potters all four. What does Rabbi Shimon say? He potters both of them. There's not two of them. There's not two of them. Poter b'shtehen? Where's their shtehen? There's either arbata and there's four separate zugot, or there's shtehen, meaning there's only one case. I mean, so Rav is really not helping matters at all. Let's forget about that approach of Rav because it's confusing. Besides which, va'od, I got news for you. Rabbi Shimon makes it very clear that he's not thinking at all about this, the business of Zika Kiknusa and about Rav's case. He explains himself in the Braitha. Va'od, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon. We always bring these braises at the end as unfortunate facts that need to be explained away and can't be. But first we go through the svaras. Okay, you want to try this, want to try that, but it doesn't. But I mean, the bottom line is you're always going to be left with this terrible, unfortunate fact. And that is that the braita says, Beferish, why do I say that you're part of a shteyam, min achalitza min ayimun, shenemar v'isha lachota lo tikach litzror? The problem being not that the second one is the achot of your wife who was already your wife because of Zika, but rather because the Torah views both of them as tsarot zulazu through the Zika. That's the problem. Not one of them is come falling to you as an erva because she is your full wife's sister. That's not the problem. They are both equal status. Both of them are tsarot zulazu. And both of them are zekukos v'yibum simultaneously. And therefore, we do not look at the first one that died as saying Zika Kiknusa, sorry. And that's where Rabbi Shimon himself says, B'sha'ah sh'na'asu tzarot zu l'zu, lo yela kuchin afilu be'achat me'em, okay? Even one. Don't try to tell me that the first one is okay. None of them are okay. Why are none of them okay? Because Zika is not Kiknusa, and because they fell, it's a chiddush akra, they fell, They're staying here without Yibam. They're both on him to be Miyabim. Then they're both related to him. Neither of them gets Yibam. Now what are you going to do? Says Rav Ashi, there's always one way out. There's always one way out. The one way out is that that's only talking about a case where they both died simultaneously. Now that's a simple way out. We've already seen that idea. If both die simultaneously, so then you can't say Zika Kiknusa, the one. Okay, so then there's no Zika Kiknusa. There's a new Isra of Litzror, where two women are simultaneously Zikukas to one brother, and in that case, we already used this logic earlier, in that case, we have a Chiddush Akra, Litzror, Pater's you. There's obviously no Zika Kiknusa because they both fell for Zika at the same time. They can't both be Knusas. So since it's a catch-22, we're left with a permanent state of Zika. And Rabbi Shimon says, that state of Zika asks both of them. You can't take one and then assume the other one is gone because she's a Yavama. The Torah says Litzor. I mean, she's an Arava. The Torah says Litzor. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, look, it's very simple. El Omer Rav Ashi, Eden Nafu B'Zachar said. You know what? The truth is, had these two women fall from the two brothers, one after the other, with a second between them, so then fine, then you'd be right. Achinami, Ein Achinami, Rav Amram would have been right, Rav Shimon never would have said, Peter B'Shteyem, but that's not the case. Achumai Askinan, the Nafu B'Vatachat, it's talking about they died simultaneously. Aye, is there not a question about whether the Halacha recognizes simultaneity? Yes, there is such a question, but Rabbi Shimon suffered like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Obviously, we'd have to say that Rabbi Shimon's opinion follows Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that if Charlotte, some same, that you have a right to utilize obviously imperfect measuring systems. I mean, how are you going to really ever know that two people died simultaneously? I mean, that, can you imagine? I mean, forget about the issue of the brain dead people today and the organ transplantation. Simultaneous death, instant. I mean, how can you possibly know such a thing? But if you hold of Rav Yossi Aglili, it means that the standards of halacha for simultaneity are the same as the standards of halacha for anything else. The way in which we commonly measure, so we accept Efshalat Samson.
What is the part of the Ryan thing where notification of the death comes simultaneously?
No, that's not. It's irrelevant.
Two hours
it's irrelevant. Irrelevant. The notification is relevant. Notification is relevant only for Avehut, not for Dinim of Yibam. So therefore, if we hold the Rav Yossi Aglili holds Efshalat Samson, everything works out fine. Now we can distinguish between cases where Zika would apply and cases where, since it's simultaneous, that it applies all right, but it applies simultaneously, and therefore Asher's both. So you can't really ask for me. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, look, Rav Oshaya is completely wrong. I mean, Biyavan v'achakach lo nolad, polig Rabbi Shimon. The only case the Rabbi Shimon argues on is the case where first there was Yibam and then the third brother was born. Now that is a case where he finds everything in place when he's born and therefore he is not an Eishes Achim Shoyer B'Olam. But in a case where first the brother is born and then the second brother, the surviving brother, does Yibam, of course he doesn't argue. In that case, he agrees. Now, you're asking me, yes, I'd explain the first Mishnah. Rabbi Oshaya says, no, I showed you there's absolutely no explanation for that first Mishnah. Because if the Rabbonin are ready to tell me, even in the case of the second Mishnah, where he's born into a happy world of a second marriage, that even there the Rabbonin says, obviously in the first case where he's born before, right? What's the point? There is no point. You know what? The Tana often does this. Very often we find Mishnayos and created is a lozu abzu, don't we? Okay, this is a lozu abzu, fine. You can't bring a raya from that, that's got to be a limited revision. So a lozu abzu katani, that's the point. And you know what? Bottom line is, he's 100% right. Rabbi Oshaya is 100% wrong, and we'll prove it. Tanya kavasit the Rav Papa v'tiyuf to the Rav Oshaya, and this is why we said back in the beginning in the Masechta, this is why we said in the beginning of the Masechta that v'hayitotav Rabbi Oshaya. This is where yitotav Rabbi Oshaya. Here's what it says in a bright. Shnei achim b'olam echad. Umeitachad meyam belovla. Nice, simple case. Two brothers. One of them dies, leaving no children. The amad hasheni hazeh lasod ma'amar b'yivimto, this case we had earlier. The brother comes up to do ma'amar, but it doesn't happen. Again, the Gemara is going to ask later about Yoda. Okay? V'lo he speak lasod ba'amar, but he never made it before the third brother was born. So now, the third brother is born, and then he goes ahead and dies without having made ma'amar. In that case, so the first wife that this second brother never took, she's bichlal osarim 100%. The second wife of the brother who had survived the first brother, what's the problem? She's a regular yavama, was completely unrelated to this woman, and therefore shnia. Of course you could mess this up if he had done the ma'amar, but then you got a problem. Because since asaba ma'amar, since that ma'amar creates a kinyan, at least minarabonim, and then v'acharkach, and then he goes ahead, and he's born the new brother, nolanach, or, for that matter, nolanach v'acharkach asaba ma'amar, even if he does the ma'amar afterwards. But now he's created a situation of a tsoras erva minarabonim, on the woman that was once his only wife, by marrying the Ashes Akshavah Yabalomo, he marries now, and now creates a problem if he dies for the remaining brother. So then he goes ahead and he dies. Oh. So the Rishonah, she's totally off the wall to him, because she is an Ashes Akshavah Yabalomo, she's Petura, she's an Erva, she's a Biraisa, she's an Issacharis, forget it. There's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. So she's Yotze Mishumei Shetachim Shemai Abonamo. The second one was like a tzora to her by virtue of the Mama Durabonan. So, okay, but Midiraisa Lamaisa, she's not a tzora, so you can't simply let her go. But so what do you do over there? You can't give her Yibam because Midirabonan, she was a tzora to Israel. Okay, so you do Chalitz. Chalitz et Velomit Yabemen. Everything is fine. And here's where Rabbi Shimon shows us that it's not so simple.
You think it was not exclusive?
Yeah, and that there's not, certainly remains Eishes Akshavah Yabalomo. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, okay, in that case, and we're going to see he's talking about the case where he did Mama. In that case, I'll tell you, Biatau Chalitzata Shalachat Mehem Poteret Sarata. One, not either of them. Ah, no, you were thinking Achatia means either of them, right? One of them. Now let me tell you which one.
Only one.
You could do Chalitza or Yibum to one. But which one? Chalatz Labalat Ma'amar. If you had done Chalitza to the one of Ma'amar, no. Then you wouldn't have potered the Tsar. But if you do Chalitza to the other one, or Yibum to the other one, so then you would potter the tzara, and then there would be no problem. His logic is Mimonasha. If Ma'amar is Koneh, as he said before the Rabbanan, if Ma'amar is Koneh, so then they were both in the same home, so he pottered the other one because he took one. If Ma'amar is not Koneh, she's an Erev anyway, so what do I have to worry about her for? So therefore, basically, I pottered her one way or the other. Either she was never Chayev, or I pottered her because she was married. So in other words, you say Ma'amar is a semi-Kinyan. I say, I don't know if Ma'amar is or isn't, but it's certainly not semi. It either is or it isn't. This is what we were talking about before when we said Rabbi Shimon was Mesuf. Right? Okay. Now, let's go on and take a look at the next case. Mate v'acharkach nolad lo ach. How about if he dies and then his brother is born? Oh, shenolad lo ach. Let's start again from the fourth word and the third line. Kansa. Suppose this brother had gone ahead and he had taken her b'yibum, and then he dies. And now, nolad lo ach. Or, suppose nolad lo ach v'acharkach kansa. Suppose his brother was born before he did the yibum. Umeit. Now, obviously, according to the Chachamim, in this case, Shteihen peturot min ha-chalitza u-min ha-yibum, because one of them is Eishes Akshelo haya ba-olamo, and the other one is the tzara of an Eishes Akshelo haya ba-olamo, because it was kamsa, he did a full yibum. What do I care whether he did the yibum first, before the kid was born, did the yibum later? Bottom line is, she is an Eishes Akshelo haya ba-olamo, married at the same time as the second brother's other wife, and therefore both wives are asuras. The case in our first Mishnah, a tzara of an Eishes Akshelo haya ba-olamo. Fine, everything's so far so good. Kamsa v'nolad lo ach. If he went ahead and he was koneser, v'nolad lo ach, v'achar kach mate. Then he goes ahead now and dies. Shteihen keturot min ha-chalitza u-min ha-yibum. So in that case, if the kanas comes first, and then the other kid is born, so then they're both potter min ha-chalitza min ha-yibum, of course, according to the Rabbon of Divrei Rabbi Meir. And it's in this case that we find Rabbi Shimon saying, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Ho'ilu ba'o matzah beheter, since when he came into the world, in this case, she was already married, therefore, there was never a moment for lo amda lav sha'ah achad b'isur. Was never a moment in which there was an isur. In this case, there's no problem, and therefore he can be miyamim lezer meyam shiyirtza. He can be choletz lezer meyam shiyirtza, and I got no problem. Now, the truth is, from the very language, it's pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon is saying Rabbi Shaya doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm only explaining the justification that there can't be Eishet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olam in a case of Ha'olah Ba'al Matzbeh, not in a case where Ha'olah Ba'al, where he would not come Sabamit. However, in order to avoid complications and additional temptations to explain that maybe Rav Shimon was saying this, Aliba the Sheet of the Rabbanan, and so on and so forth, can I just prove to you that you don't have any wiggle room? Let me show you you don't have any wiggle room, okay? This last case that we just brought up over here, how Baba the Sefer? Can you tell me this last case that says where he was miyavein and then l'besof no lot? Okay, we separated that out from that middle case. The middle case we had where you went ahead and he was kamsa and then died and then no lot, or no lot ve'achar kach kamsa, right? Okay. But not the case of kansa v'nolad, the mate. I mean, obviously, in the case of kansa the mate, and then nolad, now he's Eishes Akshelo haya ba'olamo on the second brother. I mean, nobody's going to argue about that case. He wasn't born yet. Now the brother died. I mean, so he's an Eishes Akshelo haya ba'olamo on two brothers. Fine. I mean, it's not telling me anything much. Okay. Now you take the third case, which is the exciting case, right? Because that case is the case that we've been dealing with all around. How about if the brother is born before Kansa? So now it's not an Eishes Akshelo haya ba'olamo on the second brother. And as far as his relationship to the first brother is concerned, he finds the second brother being married not to the wife of the first brother. Now we have something exciting, right? Now we have something exciting, and there we've got a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. That's how I read it. Now, you tell me how else we can read it. You want to say, well, no, actually, Rabbi Shimon would argue on either case, but he doesn't care if Kamsa before. Really now. So could you tell me why we separated out these two cases? If Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir argue on all of the above, okay, then let's talk about a case where Kamsa v'nolad v'meit, and Kamsa v'meit v'nolad. I mean, what exactly, I mean, nolad Kamsa v'meit, or Kamsa nolad v'meit? Why can't we say them together? And say, Rabbi Meir says, well, one of them is a tzara, both of them are kaput, he has no problem. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, he found her, you know, after already there was Zika, no problem. Huh? Why don't we do that? I'll tell you why we don't do that. We don't do that because Rabbi Shimon never argued on that case. The only case that Rabbi Shimon was addressing was the case that he explains, Baal Matzah Beheter. Not a case of Baal Matzah Be'isr. Now, does that show you the Rav Hoshaya is wrong? You can't wiggle out of this one. Because even if you try to wiggle out of his words, you can't wiggle out of the fact that we created a separate case to address those words. So you are up the creek without a paddle. And we can forget about this alternative explanation of Rabbi Shimon, because it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Rabbi Shimon never argued about Eshetach Shloya Ba'olamo in a case where the child was born before the Yibam of the other brother. And that proves it, QED. So, Habavah Nisevah, Laman Katanila. Let's see that inside. Tell me who said that. Okay? What, Rabbi Meir Katanila? I mean, you're telling me that Mifte. I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, Lo Shoni Lo Rabbi Meir Ben Yibim Vachkach Nolad Ben Nolad Vachkach Yibim, right? I mean, that's the whole point. Rabbi Meir is the Rabbanan. He holds, there's always an inspiration of Shloya Ba'olamo. I don't care whether the guy was Me'avin first or not. I mean, that was the whole point he made in the previous case. So then why not just put them together? Larvanina V'lishninu. Then put the two cases together. Make them one case. Ela Lav. The only reason to separate out this case is to tell me this new Chiddush al Libid Rabbi Shimon, in which this is the only case where that Chiddush would apply. Not the other case. And B'yibayim V'chakav Nolad Poli. It's because he only argues in a case where the guy had been Tenes and then went ahead and died. But in a case where first the brother was born and then the other brother, the original surviving brother, went ahead and Yibayim, Lo Poli, he never would have argued. Shmamina, now that proves it. And Itesav, that's the end of Rav Hoshaya's approach to Rabbi Shimon, which is why we concluded early on in the parak, Rebbe does not give us cases of machlokes. That's why the case, the original case indeed, was true, both Alibet Rabbi Shimon and Alibet Rabbanan, which itself explains what the point was of separating out the Mishnayos. Yes, because in fact the first parak doesn't talk about machlokes. Now you have the second parak begins to talk, oh, by the way, that case we mentioned earlier, we can finesse the case to show you that it not in all cases would it be true according to all sheikhs. But the case as stated in the first parak is true according to everybody, and Rebbe B'plut the local Meir. So now at last when we get here, we understand what the Gemara meant when it said, but what about Rav Hoshaya? Don't worry about Rav Hoshaya. We end up showing you he's wrong. Here's where we did it. By the way, Yoda asks, what is this business about wanting to do Ma'amar, but not getting around to doing Ma'amar? I mean, no Jedi would use that as an excuse. Well, Master Yoda, I tried. Try? Ask the Gemara, can you explain that part? About, I just want to understand this. My lo he speak. Look, you did it. Iloava. You didn't do it. What's this try business? No, what it means is like this. It means, it's coming to tell me just an interesting fiddish, by the way. When it says amad, it means he tried because she agreed. And then, all of a sudden, she said, no, change my mind. So there, lo he speak, that means lo he speak mi da'ata. He was unable to do it. He was able to do it, but not the way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it nicely. Instead, he said to her, look at this, you witch. I am giving you this ma'amar, whether you like it or not. Okay? And he does it ba'al korcha. And therefore, it's coming to tell me, he did indeed do Mimer and tried, but he said, look, if it doesn't work with honey, so kayak and more kayak. So he goes ahead now, and he does Ma'amar Baal Korcha. It's coming to teach me, Agavurcha, that Rebbe is wrong. The local Rebbe, the Tanya, Ha'ose Ma'amar Bivimto, Shalomi Da'ata, somebody goes ahead and gives Ma'amar by force, Rebbe says the Mimer is still a kosher Mimer. The Chachamim say, no, it's not a kosher Mimer. Rebbe Svora, my time of the Rebbe, Gomar Mibiyad Yivama. Rebbe says, look, Ma'amar is an extension of Yibum, right? All that it's trying to do is to prettify the Yibum. But you prettify the Yibum not by switching it into the set of Kiddushin. You prettify the Yibum by being nice about it and giving her a ring. But make it pretty. Right. So you give her a ring. And that's the ma'amar. Now she's shouting, I don't like you. I don't want this ring. Tough, baby.
Pardon me, but my ignorance, but to make somebody a mamar, mm-hmm. what do you have to do?
You have to give her a ring.
That's it.
Flowers. Something.
Not rape.
No, yibum. It could be rape, but we make it pretty by giving mamar. That's what Rebbe says. Extend the dinim of yibum, but it's still part of the dinim of yibum. I mean, yibum is basically the Torah is prescribing this as being necessary.
Such as
so,
such as words?
Whatever. What do you mean dibur? Whatever makes a kinyan for kedushin. We'll see later on about mama, but it's basically a kedushin, but it's only a pretty kedushin in the context of yibum. So it doesn't require the part about her acceptance. It only requires going through the motions. Okay. So I went through the motions. So according to Rebbe, I did do mama, because the lowy speak was only lowy speak me da'ata. Comes along this to tell us, but that's not the halach. The halach is like the chachamim who say, not this. Rebbe says, ma bia di yavama bal karcha, kedusha di yavama bal karcha. It's still part of the set of dinim of yavama. Whereas the rabbanan say, now wait a minute. If you create kedusha, you can't take kedusha out of the context of kedusha and throw it into a new set of yavam. No, what we're saying is, let's apply that kedusha to any woman, to a yavama. I mean, I can't create a new kedushin that's bal karcha just for the purposes of yibum. So what it's saying is, go through the act of kedushin. Kedushin means the woman says, yes, I do. Or was there an I do? There was no I do. And therefore, they say, ma kedushin, the yama midata, just like kedushin means, by definition, her acceptance, af kedusha di yavama midata, but my kamir. Forget what are they arguing in? Ma'asav amila di yavama mimila di yavama havelei lameila. Rebbe obviously holds that all of the halachas of yibam must be defined by the basic template of yibam, and maimar is a din in yibam. Whereas ma'asavar maimar can't be something new. Maimar is an extension of kedusha. In which case, mila de kedushin, mila de kedushin, habe leila melech. You must learn it out only from the set of kedushin. Now, let's just finish this last little piece. Asaba ma'amar v'achakach nolad lo ach. Or she nolad lo ach v'achakach asam ma'amar. Umeit. So we say, v'shona yotza mishumeshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. U'shnia choletzet omit yabemet. That's what the Tanakhama said. And Rabbi Shimon said, well, actually, biatar chalitza shalachat mehem poteret sarata. Which case was Rabbi Shimon talking about? Was he talking about the opening case, or was he talking about the case of asaba ma'amar? Rabbi Shimon, I hate quite. There were two cases that we opened up with, and we said, first case was lo asa ach ma'amar. The second case was he was asaba ma'amar. The first case, he tried to do ma'amar, but it didn't work, okay? Second case was, he did ma'amar. At the end of that discussion, Rabbi Shimon says, what's your guy's problem? The Yibam or Chalitza, one takes care of the other. In which case, where he did the ma'amar, or where he didn't do ma'amar? Ilema anola loach v'acharkach asaba ma'amar. So what happened over here? Because one case was where first the brother was born, then he goes in and does ma'amar. I mean, that's also a subset of the case. I thought, Amrit benola the basof yibay, lo pliapolig Rabbi Shimon. What good is it to first do? First, if he's born, what good is it to do ma'amar after he's born? We just concluded the Rabbi Shaya is wrong, and even if he was kanas, it wouldn't help. So, I mean, well, it couldn't be that case. Ela asaba ma'amar, so it's got to be talking about the case. He gives her a ma'amar, and then his brother is born, and then he goes out and dies. So, chalatz l'ba'alata ma'amar, lo niftarat sarat. So what is Rabbi Shimon saying? If he gave chalitza to the one who had been the original wife of the first brother, so then that doesn't help the tzora. Why? Because the tzora is vadai. She's definitely the wife of the second brother. And she's definitely chayevus in yibum, right? And the ma'amar, I don't know what the ma'amar is. Ba'alat ma'amar is safek. I mean, maybe she's married, maybe she's not married. I mean, certainly, ain't safek monsibide vadai. We can't possibly use the chalitz of the ba'alat ma'amar to pater the one who is definitely married to the second brother, a full marriage.
She's a sub-sarasara.
That's right. Well, I don't know what she is. If there's no ma'amar, I mean, so how she's gonna, how is she going to be? Yosef, Menashe, Barzvit, Kabeid, Levunav, Yosef, Kamar. Wait a minute. How does this work? My time in Rabbi Shimon. My time in Rabbi Shimon. Man, if you haven't figured that out yet by now, we might as well quit Daf Yomi. We've been droning, going around for 2 days about my time, Reb Shimon. How dare you? What, were you sailing? No, I didn't mean my time, Reb Shimon, of course. But that's absolutely clear to me, my time, Reb Shimon. I mean, what I mean is, Reb Shimon is all about Matzeder. What I meant was my time at the Rabbanah. I mean, it's a logical conclusion that if the guy now finds his wife, the wife of the first brother married to the second brother, I mean, that's it. What does he have to worry about the first brother? I mean, isn't the first brother's marriage, hasn't it been concluded absolutely by the fact that the second brother took it over? And she is now falling in from the second brother. What you seem to be saying is that there's still a little smell of Yibam on her from the first. But I thought that once the second brother takes her, she is now a wife. Let's say, if he gives her a get, does he need to give her Chalitza? No. If he gives her a get, can he take her back? If she didn't marry somebody else? She's like any other woman. We don't say, well, no. Now she goes back to bring your brother's wife. She never goes back to bring your brother's wife. That's for sure. The brother's wife is overs. That first brother, once the second brother goes out and marries her, she's married to the second brother. Now that makes so much sense. It's consistent in all of the halachas that Rabbi Shimon is absolutely right. Mitzvah Sfora. She's born. He's born. He finds a woman married to a second brother. Irrelevant, totally, that she had once been an avid to the first brother, because that's gone. She's now the wife, complete, in all senses, of the second brother. How did the Rabbanu get the idea that a woman who is married to you just because she's married through Yibum, she now does have a din of a wife, that she's still a Yavama? Why is she still a Yavama? They say, take a look at the pasuk. Ulekachalo leisha, he shall take her as a wife, v'yibma. Oh my God, what do you mean v'yibma? I thought that wasn't, isn't that what it means when it says, he shall take her as a wife? That's what is v'yibma. If you tell me he shall take her as a wife, but don't forget, she's still really v'yibma. Uh-oh. So you think to yourself, uh-oh, now what does that mean? So what that means to us, say the Rabbanan, is that adayin yivumim arishonim alea. Let us never forget the fact that she had once been married to another brother. And therefore, when the new brother is born, and he says, how lovely, here is Eshet Achi. No, we say. Here is Eshet Achicha, who is also Yibumi Rishonim. Don't even think about it. Wait a second. But if that's true, then he shouldn't be able to treat her as a wife. So if he gave her a get, then what happened to the Chalitza? Yibumi Rishonim. And how could he remarry her? That's funny. So, doesn't the Mishnah say Kansa? If he took her as a Yavama, she's totally his wife. And Rabbi Yosef Bechanina says, when we say totally his wife, what does that mean? It means, Shimigar Shabbat get. He can give her a get, no need for Chalitza. If he changes his mind afterwards because she'd marry anybody else, he can go ahead and take her back. And we don't say, but how can you take her back? She was a Yavama from your first brother. You're not Chayav anymore, Yibam. You're already Mekayim. It's over. I mean, how can it be over if it says V'yimma? Then Adayin Yivumim HaRishonim Aleha. So why, when it comes to the brother who is now being born into the world, do we say Adayin Yivumim HaRishonim Aleha? But when it comes to the brother who was there we say, well, we picked that out of a hat. There we say, it says lekachalo leisha. That means entirely. Well, we take a knife and split the pasuk. We say the first part that says leisha, that's only vis-a-vis him. But the second part that says the imam, that addresses a brother who is yet to be born. Where'd that knife come from? How do we split the pasuk like that? Why don't we say in that case too? Hasam nami, the case where a guy gave a get to his yavama. Why don't we say? Torah says, V'yibma, even though you went ahead and took her as a wife, a dying evil mirror in Shonim Alea, now you want to get rid of her, give her a get, you're going to have to give her Chalitza. You certainly can't take her back again. She's still a Yavama. Tiboy Chalitza. No, wait. Don't you not read the Pasuk? Pasuk says, Ulokachalo le'isha. Given shalakacha, nasek ishto lechol davar. Now, listen, man, you're driving me crazy. I mean, so then if that's what it says, then that's true, like Rabbi Shimon says. So Ihach, you can say the same thing to the brother who was born. It says, L'kachal l'isha. I mean, l'kol davar, no? What's the difference? No, it says v'yidma. Okay. But that's what I asked you. So which one is which? So ma ra'is, I understand. So how do you arbitrarily decide who's who? For the new brother, it's v'yidma. But for the old brother, it's the l'kachal l'isha. So ma ra'ita. I mean, isn't it reasonable? The pasuk basically is contradicting itself. So on the one hand, it's saying, this is your wife entirely. On the other hand, it's saying, never forget, she's really a woman. Now, both those things can't be true. Okay? So clearly, it's referring to two different cases. Does it not make sense to shti hetera hetera? Ishti isura isura? Look, there's one case that's obviously hetera. You're supposed to marry her. Well, the kachalo liisha. The one that's supposed to marry her is liisha. The one who's not supposed to marry her because she was an eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Never forget that when you find her 20 years later, it was v'yidma. That's perfectly good sense. It's just, again, a function of information density. Torah doesn't spell it out for you. Use your brains. So we have two different approaches. One for the man who's chayev in yibam. One for the man who is born later, eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. He shall never forget that she is Yivumim Arishani. Hey, you know, that's really nice. That is a nice analysis. Now, wait a minute, Rabbi Shimon, hold on a second. You didn't think about that one. So how about according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says, Olu ba'o matza v'heter v'lo amdal av sha'a kati isur. I mean, what is he saying? He's saying, he must be saying that according to him, it's got to be that I've absorbed all of the Yisurim. That's what you've got to be telling me. Because otherwise you're forced to make this distinction. If you're telling me that in becoming his wife, there is no longer a possibility of the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, because the Yibum has taken all of the Yisurim and now brings them to you courtesy of Brother 2, and therefore Yibum cancels Arayas. So I got a brilliant question. If Yibum cancels Arayas, so how about if his sister, who was from a common mother, went ahead and married his brother from a common father? They were the simple case we had earlier. So the brother was married now to his sister from his mother. And now he goes ahead and he's born afterwards. Okay? Finding now this sister married, basically, to this second brother before he was born. He now finds his sister married to his brother. Okay? Great. Let's cancel sisterhood. I mean, we canceled Eshet Ach, Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, that was a pretty serious erva. You said we cancel it because Yibum cancels ervas. Okay, let's cancel sisterhood because Yibum cancels ervas.
What's the have a minute?
Wait a second. Olu ba matzah beheter. I mean, right now he finds her with a brother. Says Yibum, what? As you're asking, I understand. What happened to Yisrael Chato? What do you mean? She's suddenly not his sister? Where did it go? What happened? Where did the sister disappear to? I mean, she's still a sister. Well, I'll say the same thing to you. And what happened to these relations on the Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? I mean, you're playing games with me. The Torah says v'yibma. You're saying it doesn't make any difference. Who cares if she was once an erva? An erva that falls to you through Yibum is no longer an erva. She's certainly to you the same erva. And you can say, what happened to Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? Is that or is that not a definitive error? It is. So you're saying, but since now, as far as I'm concerned, from this brother, I don't have to worry about any other erva. But thank you. So don't worry about any other erva. Why worry about the fact she's your sister? I understand how you have it both ways. All along I understood that Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo is an Isser Erva like any other Isser. Now you're telling me, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's this new concept of Olu Bo Matzah Beheter, which has nothing to do with the fact that it was Isha. Even the Yibma takes off Isurim. Okay, great. So let's take off all Isurim in the world. including his own sister. Ah, says Gemara, but wait, the difference. Hai Isura de let lehetera, v'hai Isura de it lehetera. Actually, the Isur of Eshet Ach is an Isur that is removable. And what's very interesting is that in the Isur of Eshet Ach, I think either the Gra or the Meshech Chochma points this out, in the Isur of Eshet Ach, it says Nidahi. Because a Nida has a Heter. She also has a Heter. The Heter is, in the case of Yibum, it actually removes the Isur of Eshet Ach. So that means that you're comparing basically two completely different types of arayas. This is how Tosis understands it. Some learn that Rashi understands it the same way, others learn it's a machlokas Rashi Tosis. But there's a very clear way of looking at it. Eshes Ach is removable, and therefore the way to understand the whole Amatz above the Heterah is that indeed Eshes Ach was removed. We had this in the Yerushalmi. The Torah never gave an Isur Eshes Ach to a case where a brother dies without a bond. That's not an Eshes Ach. So it's a removable Isser. At one point it's an Isser, at one point it's not an Isser. Very similar to the only other case which is removable, which is precisely the source of all of the dinim of Arias that they're parted from, Soroseim, which is your wife's sister. What an amazing coincidence. So the two cases where the Erva is removable are the only two cases that the Torah gives us the dinim of Yibum in, even though one of them has absolutely nothing to do with removing it, has to do with saying where it's awesome. Quite a coincidence. And therefore, everything works out now perfectly. According to Rabbi Shimon, Yisrael Shesach is removable, was removed by the marriage of the second brother, the third brother is born, Ba Matzah Beheter. If she was also a sister, that's a problem, because that is something that's never removable, and therefore it's irrelevant whether she's fallen to Yibum, just as it would have been if she would have fallen from the first brother.